You are listening to Benefit from the Bible, which is the preaching ministry of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Parma, Ohio. It is our desire that you carefully listen, rightly understand, thoroughly apply, and eternally benefit. If you are listening on an iPhone or iPad, install the free podcast app called Overcast, then search for Benefit from the Bible. May God bless your listening. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, this is the final part of our three-week Advent series called Come, Lord Jesus. Let me give you a review of what we've done the last couple weeks and then a little summary of what we're going to do today. So going back to our first week, we emphasized how God comes to us. He does that through His Word. We also emphasized what He does through that Word. Some of the things I mentioned are that He makes us spiritually alive as He comes to us through His Word. He also sets us free from the condemnation of our sins. He builds us up, and He gives us His eternal blessings. Thinking about last week, we emphasized to whom He comes. Keep in mind, the Son of God came for everyone, but who is actually benefiting? We emphasized to whom He comes. He comes to those who know they are in need of God's forgiveness. To people who think they're doing fine, they have no interest in Jesus. Also, we emphasized last week that simply hearing is not enough. Why do I say that? We talked about the parable of the sower, and we talked about how in three of the four cases, they heard, and yet they did not benefit. And then last week also, we talked about a method that God wants to work through. So we talked about, in regard to the scriptures, how it's important to hear, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest God's holy word, because what will happen then? The Holy Spirit will work through that word of God in order to transform our lives from the inside out. Today, we're going to emphasize the results that God works. So He works them in the heart. He works them then showing forth in our daily lives. And He does so as we inwardly digest the word. So each part of what we've talked about in this series has built upon the other. I hope you can see that. I hope it's understandable. And I hope God will keep us in His Word in a serious way so that God can do the work that He wants to do within each one of us. Going to the first part of the sermon today, I say that God's work is in our hearts. As we come to this topic here, let's think about the topic of love for a moment. I think we can better understand this if we think about the situation with love before Adam and Eve fell into sin and then after they fell into sin. In other words, before the fall, keep in mind that God, He had a perfect love for Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had a perfect love for God, and they had a perfect love toward each other. Sounds like paradise, doesn't it? Everything was wonderful. However, though, with the fall into sin, God continued to have a perfect love for Adam and Eve. But the problem, though, is they no longer had a proper love for God, and they no longer had a proper love for each other. Sin made a mess out of everything. What about with a change of behavior? What does God want to do? God wants to work on the inside. He wants to work within our hearts. When God does His work on the inside, that's going to show on the outside in the action that we take for others. Let's look back at some key parts of the scripture that I just read today from 1 John chapter 4. I want to ask you six different questions here, and with five of the six questions, I'm going to answer them with part of the scripture we looked at earlier. First of all, what is needed for a person to show true love? What is needed? The Bible says, everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So to have really proper love, we have to be in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Next question, how did God show true love for us? The Bible says, God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. What's the Bible telling us? It's telling us that apart from Jesus Christ, we are dead in our sins. So that's why God sent his Son. That's how he showed great love for us in sending his Son, so that we might be alive then spiritually and alive forever through Jesus Christ. God saw our great need, and then God took action according to that need. Next question, how did God's love save us? In other words, what are the details of what happened here? The Bible says God sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. What does that mean, that in Christ God propitiated our sins? It means really two things. It means that God took our sins and placed them on his Son, and then God poured out his wrath upon his Son for all the things that we have done wrong. That is great love. Next question, why should we love each other? The Bible says, if God so loved us, in other words, how did he so love us? He loved us through Jesus. The Bible says, we also ought to love one another. The implication there is that when by God's grace we receive his love, we receive the benefits of his love, that works a change within us. It's like, oh dear God, now I know I was hell bound, but now I know that in Christ, wow, now I am heaven bound. And that just like changes like everything. And now, instead of being selfish in our love, now we want to try to model the kind of love that God has shown to us in Jesus Christ. Is our love always going to be far less than the kind of love God has for us? By all means, but it's still going to be getting at that genuine, sincere kind of love. So then we come to another question here. What does it mean to love each other? I think quite a point of confusion in today's world. What does that mean? We love others when we take sacrificial action according to the needs of another person. God saw us. God saw our need. He took great sacrificial action by saying, Son, go down there, put on flesh, live a perfect life, allow them to put you on a cross, receive their sins, receive my punishment. Wow, that was a huge, huge sacrifice. In order to love, we have to pay attention to others. We have to see what their needs are. And then, motivated by the love that we have received from God in Christ, then we take action according to those needs. That's what it means to love each other. In summary, why do we love others? How can we summarize it simply? Think about the last verse in the reading today. We love because God first loved us. So it begins with God. When God enables us to receive that love, that makes a change on the inside. And now that shows then in how we deal with others, how we show love to others. Let's go to a powerful example of Zacchaeus. You know the story well, I'm sure, but let's look at some key parts of the story here. Let me do so by asking four key questions. First question, why was Zacchaeus not liked by the people there in Jericho where he lived? The Bible says he was a chief tax collector and he was rich. How did he get rich? He got rich by collecting too much money from the people who lived in Jericho. He was working for the government, and the people despised him for the job that he had, and they despised him for collecting so much money. Next question, how did Jesus show his love for Zacchaeus? Remember, Jesus was going through the town, and Zacchaeus was a wee little man, like we say from Sunday school. He wasn't very tall. He wanted to get a glimpse of Jesus. And can you imagine, maybe the other people in the town, they're taller, and they're kind of seeing Zacchaeus coming up behind him, and they're like, don't let that guy get in here. We're not going to let him see what's going on. Maybe that's how they treated him. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly. But he figured out a plan, though, that he would climb a tree so that when Jesus passed by, he would see him. The Bible says, when Jesus came to the place where Zacchaeus had climbed up into a tree to get a glimpse of Jesus, Jesus looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. What a completely, completely unexpected thing. Zacchaeus was used to people ignoring him, disliking him, maybe hating him. All he wanted to do was get a glimpse of Jesus. We don't know exactly why. The Bible doesn't tell us. But Jesus, even though everyone else ignored him, Jesus paid attention to him. And it's a huge thing to say, I'm coming to your house. I'm coming into your house. It wasn't just like a handshake. It was a whole lot more than that. Why were the people in the town of Jericho, why were they upset with what Jesus said to Zacchaeus? The Bible says they all began to grumble, saying, he has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. So when you had the job that Zacchaeus had, you were automatically labeled as a sinner, a known sinner, known by everyone. Of course, we've heard that kind of thing before, haven't we? When Jesus went here and there to other places. Jesus, why are you hanging out with those people? Those rotten, no good people. Thank God that he did it, because we are rotten, no good people too. And thank God he wants to hang out with us too. Final question here in the Zacchaeus section. How did Zacchaeus show that his heart had been changed? The Bible says, Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, behold, half of my possessions, think about this, half of my possessions I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much. Think about how huge that statement is. Think about what that would mean for you to give away half of what you have to the poor. And if you've done anything wrong to anyone financially, you would pay them back four times over. That's a huge thing. Let's understand that words are easy. We can say anything pretty easily. Actions are harder. We know that actions speak louder than words. And I think maybe one of the hardest actions is giving away a significant amount of money. Who does that? I think what he said is pointing to that genuine change that God had worked within him. You know, in an opposite way sometimes, just on a side note here for a moment, because we're thinking about the topic of giving with Zacchaeus, there are some people that I think very well know what tithing means in the Bible, and they know what the Bible says about tithing, but they keep refusing to do it. That's kind of an odd combination, isn't it? Probably all of us, with one sin or another, we're like, okay, God, I know what you're saying. I get it completely, but. Do we ever say but? We probably all do, here or there. Not good. Thank God for his love and for his forgiveness in Christ. And wherever we're putting a but, may God help us to repent. In the final part here today, I'm calling it God's instructions for those who know him. So in other words, once God has worked the change in the heart, now what does God say from his word in some ways to people like you and me where the change has been worked? Now keep in mind, even though the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, they're trying to pull us in the wrong directions, and that's going on all the time, God is calling us and God is empowering us to remember his love And it is so great, isn't it? We were hellbound, now we're heavenbound, so remember his love, and then to do his will. In this section here, I have, again, four questions. First question, regarding the Bible, when should we be dealing with the Bible and why? That is answered here in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. The Bible says, "You shall meditate on it day and night." That answers the question of when. You shall meditate on it day and night. And then it says, "So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it." So why are we thinking about it day and night? We are thinking about it in order that God would enable us to understand it. And upon understanding it, then God is calling us to do it. Does God give us any encouragement on following through with such things, meditating day and night, and then putting it into practice? The passage goes on and says, "For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." How many of us would like prosperity and success? By all means. Now, that's not prosperity and success according to the standards of the world, but even better prosperity and success according to the Almighty God. Next question, regarding the Bible, what is a good order when we think about the Bible? Going here to Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, it says, "Ezra," see if you can pick up the four in what I say. It says, "Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel." Did you get the four things? First of all, we have to set our heart in the proper way. So to set our heart would be to know what this book is, to know it's important for us. And we set our heart wanting to get in there and to understand it and to then put it into practice. So we set our heart, and then we are called to study the Word of God, and in studying it, God will enable us to understand it. Now, once we understand it, are we ready then to teach it to others? No, we're not. Because the Bible says then that we put it into practice in our own lives. Because when we do that, then we really understand it. It's one thing to know something in our head and even in our heart. It's another thing when we put it into practice, when we take it for a test drive, when we try it on. Now we can really know what that's talking about, and then we're ready to teach it to others. Now for Ezra, he was a priest, so he was doing teaching. So that applies to him, right, and not to any of us. Well, I would say no. I would say it applies to every Christian, because when we identify ourselves to others as followers of Jesus Christ, people are going to be paying attention to what we say. They're going to be paying attention to what we do. When they pay attention, what are we doing toward them? We are teaching them. We are teaching them, whether we think about it or not, whether we know it or not, we are teaching them. So it's important for all of us, when we think about going to the Word of God, that we would set our heart, that we would study it, that we would practice it, and then, with what we say and do, hopefully people are getting the right message from the Word of God. And let's rejoice that when they don't, we have God's forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Next question, since God is not needy, how do we love him? Remember I said, what is love? Love is taking sacrificial action according to the needs of another person. God has no need, so how do we show love for him? Jesus said very simply, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So God has told us what he wants us to do. He has told us what he wants us to avoid. And as we strive to do and not do such things, that's how we show our love for God. In a sense, we could go back to Adam and Eve, and God said, don't eat from this tree. That's how you can show your love for me, by not doing what I told you to not do. But when they went and ate from it, then that was not showing love for God. God wants us to understand that little truth. And then finally, the very last question of all. Since many are only actors or hypocrites, that's what a hypocrite is, an actor, how do we show the reality of God's work in our hearts? We can tell other people about it, but how do we show that reality? Well, think about here in James chapter 1, it says, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. So when we only hear it, but we don't do it, the Bible says we are deluding ourselves, we are deceiving ourselves, we are trying to tell ourselves, oh, I heard it, I understand it, I'm fine. And yet the Bible is saying, if we're not doers of the word, then we are only deluding or deceiving ourselves. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we have sinned, and you know that so well. So as we think about your Son, we are so thankful that you have worked in our hearts, you have shown us our sins, and you have given us Jesus. We pray, dear Father, that you would guide us, that you would empower us, that you would turn us from what is displeasing to you, and that you would allow our behavior, what we say and what we do, to reflect the light of Jesus, who is the Christ of Christmas. In his name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you have questions, contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. If you are searching for a church in the Parma, Ohio area, attend with us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our regular schedule, Saturdays, class at 3, divine service at 4. Sundays, divine service at 9, classes at 10:30. For our festival schedule and much more, go to our website. Now, may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with us all.